This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are here every week to talk about subjects we think are important and interesting and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And as you know, we talk about health and economics very often. We talk about law and order, of course. You could imagine why. And my second favorite subject is, because you listen to me all the time, I'm sure you know, anything to do with the arts or the theater and culture. And we always like to talk about that, not only because it's my favorite subject, because it's so important to all of us who live here in the Western New York area. Our cultural community is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's so outstanding. And not just the theater, but the arts and every kind of art, sculpture, and everything that's happening at the museum. We've talked about the expansion at the Albright. Well, in the studio with me today are two of my favorite quote unquote arts people. We've been friends for a really long time because my two guests have been at the center of so many important cultural events here in Western New York and involved with so many aspects of the community, not only art, not only theater, but art, photography, and good deeds, let me say, charitable good deeds, not only in the community, but in the larger community of the world. So I wanted to introduce you to my friends, and they're going to tell you a little about themselves and some of the upcoming events and projects that they are involved with that you might want to know about. We want to keep you up on everything that's going on, folks. That's why you listen to us here on Target. So let me introduce to you first Jack Hunter. And Jack is a man for all seasons. Is that a good one? Is that a
sure.
good a Renaissance person? And were you here before in the studio with me when you were talking about the show? Did we get to talk about the fabulous show that you did last year?
No,
we should have, because it was so.
Brian Kavanaugh, the director, was here.
That's right. I know they were. So, in any case, it was Frost. It was.
That's right. I played Richard Nixon. It was Frost Nixon.
And
yes.
Frost Nixon, and in the studio with me now is not President Nixon, not Nixon, but who did you play?
I played Nixon, yes.
You played Nixon.
Yes, ma'am, I did.
And it was, yes, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm listening, President.
Well, I did play Mr. Nixon, and I thought it was a very nice performance by everybody involved. And the fellow playing David Frost was one of my students. I was his first college instructor, and he took me to school on stage this time.
And it was outstanding. It was
you
thought you were living through it again if you went to see it, because it was so fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And now, Jack is going to be one of our favorite characters. We'll talk about that in a minute. Columbo. We were talking about before we went on the air how much we love Columbo. I just want to skip over for a minute to talk to Margot. Hello, Margot Davis.
Hello.
And that was Jack Hunter. And hello, Margot Davis. So Margot Davis is, I don't know how long we've been friends, but she is one of the most outstanding, talented actresses here in Western New York. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, thank
actresses.
You.
And
I'm very
she's
honored.
I can't think of all the things that you've done, all the parts that you've played and shows that you've done over the last few years, but you can tell me.
Oh,
you can tell us.
Well, most recently I was out at Desiderio's last year. And I've done things all over the place. I've been doing a lot of film. I did Marshall and Crown Vic and the Coldbrook and all of those. And I'm going to be doing It's a Wonderful Life, the radio version, up in Lockport this winter.
And, oh, that'll be fun.
We're probably getting ahead of ourselves, but
yeah.
We're also going to be. I'm going to be directed by Jack in the spring. Yeah.
That's exciting. That,
yeah.
Since you're friends, that must be tough.
Well,
we'll see how it works.
I will learn a lot.
Yes, probably.
So will I.
I wanted to, first of all, thank you, Darlene Pickering-Hummert, for having arranged and thought of this program for our listeners. She is so wonderful and
she's
so instrumental
grand,
in the success of the theater district. And when you mentioned the movies, I was thinking mm-hmm. about Darlene helping to cast, you know, many local people when we have a movie shooting here in Western New York, which is really, really exciting for the people, mm-hmm. for, you know, us local people, right?
People of Western New York are very lucky that Darlene is here.
Mm-hmm. I know. Hello.
Amen.
Shout out to Darlene. I want to begin by talking about, because she gave me an outline and said, that there are some exciting photographic exhibits taking place. And first of all, I don't know if people can put two and two together, but there's obviously a connection between being actually talented enough to be on stage in the theater and being a photographer. I don't know if it's like different parts of the brain or what would be the association, but it's definitely something that both of you are good at.
I hope so.
Okay, Jack, talk. Jack, tell me about the photographic exhibit.
I'll tell you what I can, but Margot's probably the one who knows more about it, because when we looked at our photos, she's the one that said, oh, we have photographic images that sort of overlap.
Go. Well, had both of you taken photographs? Maybe we'll go back a few steps. Is this a hobby or something that you had been doing around the world or in many places, or how did it come about?
I started when I gave up the big fat cameras with all the whistles and the bells, and just when the telephones became really wonderful cameras, I just started to use that, and I go do Habitat for Humanity builds around the world. So they gave me really good opportunities to just see really cool moments and snap them. And I've been doing that for a couple of decades.
Now, you talked about Habitat for Humanity. I wanted to talk about that, your experiences in doing it mm-hmm. and where you've been.
Oh, well, about a decade ago, I had one of those banner birthdays that end in a zero, and I wanted nothing to do with a party. So I decided to take myself on a Habitat for Humanity build instead, because I wanted to feel young and helpful instead of old and hungover. So I went to Hawaii on a Habitat for Humanity build, and ever since then I've found them all over the place, and they're just a wonderful, wonderful way to combine seeing the world and being helpful. And I've been to Portugal and Costa Rica and Alaska and all over the place, but most recently was
Romania. Yes, Margot, at one point when I said, I so admire what you do with this stuff, and she said, well, why don't you come on one then? And I went, okay. And, we both went to Romania in June.
What is it like? What's the country like?
Oh,
you're better at that.
I don't know.
Central
Europe, I had no idea. I had forgotten completely that it was a communist country from the 40s until almost the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it was clear that before that it was an absolutely beautiful, exquisite country, evidenced by their architecture. And that all of that was just left to rack and ruin when the communist rule came over, to the point of just ignoring it, to tearing it down, to surrounding it with block construction, et cetera, et cetera. And now that they're free, it's a real dichotomy of the old people, the older people who grew up with communism, and they really don't have an aesthetic, and the younger children and the young adults who have access to all of what the world has to offer through the internet that are saying, what's going on here? And it's a fascinating, fascinating cultural diversity. And that's where we sort of connected with these pictures. We found ourselves taking pictures of the same things going, wait a minute. And then we looked at our past pictures, and we realized that we had several themes in common, and one of them was people in their own environment, doing their own thing, And so we said, this is really kind of cool. It's kind of like theater. It is the people, it's the who and the where. And we each had our own what, you know, the tells the story. But we decided to put together the exhibit down at the Matinee on Main Street, 698 Main Street. It's a great little craft beer and wine bar, open from 6 to midnight, Tuesdays through Saturdays. But it was called In the Moment because we supplied the who and the where of all of these really cool pictures from all over the place. And the people get to create their own what, their own stories. And we've heard people tell us stories about what these pictures are, and yeah, they're a hoot. They're great. It's lots of fun. It's almost like adults playing children, making up stories using our pictures. It's really
fun. This is a good explanation of what I was trying to get at before about how theater and photography can sort of enhance each other, go hand in hand.
Right. That's sure. Why we wanted it at the Matinee, which is the theater bar.
Yes, it kind of came together, and we opened it on Curtain Up, and it was the meshing of characters in pictures, and we've got characters on stage, and we thought this was the perfect place to do it, and we approached the guys that own it, and they said, oh, yeah, we'd love to do this. Yeah. And we said things like, if we put nails in your wall, are you going to be manic? Nah, we haven't painted the wall in 5 years. If it gets messed up, we'll fix it. Right. They've been incredible.
This will be an enhancement.
Yes.
Yeah. So there are about 22 images, 23.
23.
23 images.
You know, and there are places like Turkey. We both have images from Turkey, but we weren't there at the same time. So there's the interesting overlap.
Yeah.
And they're all characters. When I say characters, you're looking at, wow, that's an interesting looking person.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, do they are, and Margot kind of alluded to this, based upon people, images of people, as opposed to just like architecture or something?
They are.
No, they're
people.
All people. Everyone except one.
I didn't want to put in, but Jack said, oh, yeah.
I insisted. There are three camels. They're all looking to the left in the frame, and they've got this look on their face, and I thought, those are three characters.
It's almost people.
Yes.
Yes.
And obviously somebody directed them, so they're actors, too.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So that's how it all fits together.
And they're all seated, attached with a very thin rope, each to his own rock, as if this camel is not going to move because of the rock.
As if they were posing.
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
But that's why it's called In the Moment. That's why the exhibit is called In the Moment.
I wanted to go back to Habitat for Humanities mm-hmm. for a minute. When you went there, or the places that you've been to go to do, how do you know what to do? How do you know? Do you have to be like a construction or an engineer or have some background in order to participate?
Absolutely not.
Nope. I've been on one only now, and I got the chance to bend rebar for a week.
Okay. I have no idea. Oh, okay.
It's the steel rods that they put inside cement when mm-hmm. they're building foundations. And I stepped up to this table, and I thought, boy, I'll really be embarrassed if I can't bend this thing. But I could, and I liked it. And you can do any job you want. I did mm-hmm. the same job for a week. Every night I was tired and sore, but I liked mm-hmm. it.
But you did that job for the week because that's what you chose, too. You don't
Correct.
Have to do the same thing.
That's right.
Basically, there's a huge house to be built. If there's a group of maybe 12 to 20 people who come for a week, and the people know that we're coming, so we're sort of the grunt labor. We don't do any of the skilled labor things like putting in the plumbing or anything. And usually they're in countries that don't have advanced tools or anything like that. And so there are several tasks to be done, and there's somebody in charge who says, okay, we're going to be putting siding up. who wants to do it? I need five people. And then they teach you if you can't, because that's part of the deal. And so I'm really good at power tools. And I love heights. So bad. Everybody always puts me up high.
Oh, my gosh. It's too bad it's not TV, because you would see this thin, slim, you know, person, woman talking to me and saying, I'm good at power tools. You say, the power tool would like blow you over, I would think. I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in. You are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and in the studio with us today are Jack Hunter and Margot Davis, who are, as you, if you're listening, you know, instrumental in the success of our theater district here in Western New York, as well as many other artistic endeavors in our community and in around the world. And we just were talking about the photograph exhibit in the moment, and now I saw that there's another photo show installation coming up off camera. What is that? You can explain that to us.
So well, I was in Los Angeles for over 10 years, and I was on movie sets a lot. And I had a number of friends who asked me to shoot production stills. You know, as the movie's shooting, I run around and shoot pictures of cameramen and sound men and things like that. And Matt LaCusa from the Compass Navigation Theater on Elmwood Avenue just said, hey, would you like to put up some pictures? And I went, And then I thought, no, I can do something that hooks in with the theater, and it's kind of a theme, and not just I throw a bunch of pictures on the wall. And then Margot came and said,
I don't know what you're telling me I said.
Oh, well, you said, you can make a little more of this than just pictures. And you had ideas about how it would be installed.
Oh, yeah. Well, we sort of went crazy with what we were going to do with all sorts of film all over the place and turn it into an installation. But that got scaled down. And it's just going to be it's your photographs, but then in halftone around will be some of the jargon that's used off camera. Because what you were saying is, The whole purpose for this exhibit is to show the multitude of people it takes to do a film. The people who never get anywhere near on camera. And you can just tell just by seeing the credits. But that's what Jack is showing.
And it's called off camera because it's all of the stuff that you don't end up seeing in the theater when you go watch a movie. It's all of those things that are happening around that camera that you never see. I mean, the first time I walked onto a studio lot in LA, it was remarkable to me how many people and how much stuff and all the teamwork going on. And you end up seeing maybe 20 people in a film. There are hundreds of people there working.
Right.
And that's kind of that feeling. What's out of frame that we don't see?
That's so fascinating to people. When you watch at the end of a film, it could go on for 10 minutes when they list all most people don't even look at it. Of course, they leave. But I always, try to look and say, what could these people be doing?
Right.
That's the answer.
Well,
Best Boy. That's the one that is famous.
I'm hoping there's a taste of that. What you just said there. It's all of that other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only, I think there are 15 or 16 photographs. Mm-hmm. There's only so much space there. So there's only so much you can see, but you get the idea then.
We didn't say where it is or when it is.
It's Theater Loft on Elmwood Avenue.
Yes.
Anderson and West Utica.
545 Elmwood. Is that is that what
yes.
it says?
Upstairs.
Thank you again, Darlene, for being so. And now it says, by the way, that this is in conjunction with a play they're doing.
That's right, which is Mark Humphrey, who's a local playwright, and it's, I believe, the first production of his play, Kindness of Strangers. We're going to have our photographs up for his opening and the run of his play. And Matt's changed the name of the theater but I believe it's the Navigation Theater and the Compass Gallery, and maybe I have it backwards.
No,
it's, I don't know.
Yes, you are so right. Campus Navigation Center.
Okay.
So either way, yeah. At 545 Elmwood.
It's the old Ujima space, right. For
yes,
people who
people
remember that.
Who follow the theater. Right.
And it'll be on view for people before the show and during intermission. And yeah.
So and by the way, for people who forgot who Ujima is, they have a production up now that's sensational.
Oh, Pipeline in their new space. Yeah. You have got to see it.
I think my friend Sheila London was just telling me how good
yes.
it is and that she was going
yeah.
to see
it. It is a very important piece that anybody who has any connection with a teenage son, with difference in culture, with
teaching.
It is unbelievable. Or a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so well put together.
There's just so many
well
good,
done.
There's just so much good theater here in Western New York, as we know. So now we get to talk about Jack's newest, which
yes.
we alluded to at the beginning, about Columbo. So I'm waiting to hear because I can't wait to see it, as I said, being addicted to everything to do with, you know, Law and Order, and now I'm putting theater together and you know, detectives and police work, and I can't wait to see it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's the original Columbo piece. It started as a play.
Mm.
It's called Prescription Murder.
Before it was a that television series. I
yes.
bet nobody knows that. Okay, I didn't know that.
Let's well, my director, Jay Desiderio,
yeah.
knows it, so if you really want the story,
it.
You get him in
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it started as a play. I'm not sure how accurate this story is, but I've been told it was going to go to Broadway, and the fellow playing Columbo died. That's when Peter Falk got cast. It didn't go to Broadway, and somebody decided to make it into a TV movie that turned into one of two pilots for Columbo. And what followed was, I think, 13 seasons of Columbo. This is the first Columbo. Prescription Murder.
Prescription Murder, it's called. And you mentioned where it's going to be and when, but maybe we should tell everyone again. It's at Desiderio's Dinner Theater.
Correct.
Correct. And October through December?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mid-October? Yeah.
October,
no?
Sunday, October 13 is opening, and I believe it closes Sunday, December 15.
So it's a long run. Hey, is it hard playing like somebody that's so iconic, you know, like Peter Falk?
You
because
bet.
People, right,
you
because
betcha.
People just put that in. one more thing. Is that hard?
Oh, one more thing. no, that's not so hard because everybody's waiting for that line. What's hard is the fact that everybody walking in has certain expectations. And I'm going to have to try to make those, and a lot of people are going to go, nah, he didn't do it. But as long as they enjoy the show, they can think about me what they want. That'll be a nice show.
I'm
Jay's
sure.
done a good job. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I'm
it's
sure
got a great cast.
It will be because, in a way, it's hard doing something that everyone is familiar with, as you
That's
said.
Right.
But also, it's good because people have, you know, an idea in their mind, at least it's something they're going to like. You know, it might be easier mm-hmm. than something new that nobody's familiar with. So that's hard sometimes,
And it's
too.
It's the same form it's been throughout the first act. You don't see Columbo. You don't see him until somebody's killed. And it's three relatively short acts. So when I say it's three acts, it's not long. Columbo comes in the second act. I mean, you see him, that's the start of the second act. Somebody's dead, so it's time for me to show up.
With yeah. your rumpled raincoat.
With my rumpled raincoat.
Rumpled raincoat, right. I hope so. And then, well, you mentioned this, Margot Butt, in It's a Wonderful Life. That's not that far away. You can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a radio script, so there's going to be all the live sound effects and all of that, which is a little bit different from watching the movie, but it's an adaptation from the original play. But it's all as though it's a live radio broadcast, and I believe that there are only five people in the in the cast, and we all play a myriad of roles. So I'm going to get to
like
different voices.
Like you probably did on radio. Like
yes.
You probably did on radio, right?
Yeah.
That's again, that's sort of like Columbo in the sense that It's a Wonderful Life is probably the most produced play, movie, play, ever, like, I don't know how many times everyone's seen it, so they might have expectations, too. That might be kind of hard.
Yeah. But they've already, I think, unlike Columbo, I'm sort of taking an easy route here, there have been so many different incantations of It's a Wonderful Life that
that's
I think
true.
People have become more used to that. So that's why this would be a really fun one to see. Because it's a, you know, get to see the people with the wind and the thunder sheets and the, you know, and all the sounds. And so it isn't just put on radio. They are all the sound effects and all of that are standing right on stage. So
now, we did not tell everyone, our listeners, where that's going to be.
Oh, that's at the Taylor Theater at the Keenan Center.
Because I think you mentioned Lockport before. But
yes, I didn't. Yeah.
And also, you did want to say something, although it seems like far away, probably before you know it, it's going to be May, and you're going to be doing this subversive theater activity.
Mm-hmm. Another play by
Mark Humphrey.
And Jack, you could probably talk about that because you're directing it.
I am indeed, and Margot's in it. That's the only role that's been cast. Margot's been cast. This is a play that Mark's had around for a while.
It must help to know the director.
Oops. Yeah.
Pretend I didn't say that.
I read for the role.
I'm sure.
You did. Mark's been, I don't know, 20 years maybe, been writing plays around town. And this is one that we have both wanted to do for a while. And we convinced Subversive that they should indeed do this play. And the first act ends with the announcement on TV that John F. Kennedy has just been shot. So it's 1963. South Buffalo, blue collar bar, racial topics, blue collar topics, father son, father son generational stuff, and the whole thing is in Kelly's bar, and Margot will be Kelly.
Well, we have so much to look forward to, guys, and I can't thank you enough for coming and taking time out of your really busy lives to share all this information with us and break a leg, everybody.
Oh,
and I don't know what you say for photography, but whatever.
keep
have
your lens intact.
Have a good show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on Target. And all of you, thanks for listening. And have a happy time. Go to the theater. Go to the photography exhibits. Enjoy all of the cultural events here in Western New York. And we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.